This is Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Ben Johnson. There's an aha moment in Nicholas Carr's new book, The Glass Cage, Automation and Us. Carr is describing an academic study, now a few decades old, in which researchers discover something interesting. They're interviewing people at home and at work. At work, people can't wait to clock out, and at home, they dread returning to work. But by many metrics, people are actually happier on the job, fulfilled, learning, progressing. And in a world where the main goal of technology seems to be reducing the work we do, making it more convenient, Carr thinks maybe we should take a different tack. Nicholas Carr, thanks for chatting with me.
My pleasure. Thanks.
You talk a lot about how our technology isn't often really designed to work in concert with us as humans. How do you fix that?
You know, the only way to counteract what I think is our misguided desire to free ourselves from all effort by throwing everything onto the back of the computer is by being more conscious of how that instinct to escape hard work actually affects our experience of life. And I think most of us, if we really thought about it, know that it's really when we're being challenged and when we're really immersed in a task or a job, and it doesn't have to be a job for pay, but that's when we feel like we are experiencing life in some better and more fulfilling way. So if we were just more conscious of how technology influences our actual experience of life, we might make smarter choices about the kinds of gadgets we buy and the kinds of software we use.
Is this also what you're talking about when you talk about this difference between tech-centered automation and human-centered automation?
It is, because I think that feeling that we have inside of ourselves to kind of let the technology do it also happens to be the guiding philosophy of most of the software programmers and engineers who are creating these systems. And so when they begin to automate something, the first thing they ask themselves is, well, what can the computer do? And what's left over, we'll give that to those unreliable humans.
The scraps from the table.
And it turns out that those scraps tend to be things we're really bad at, you know, watching screens for anomalies. And then, oh yeah, you also have to be the final line of defense, because if the technology fails, you're going to have to step in and fix the problems. Mm. And basically that sets us up to fail.
So I really like some of the interludes that you put in the book about your own experiences using technology. And one of them is about you playing this video game, Red Dead Redemption, which I have also played. It's a Western. You sort of get to be a cowboy. What did you learn playing that game about how video games can actually be different from some of this other technology that we've been talking about?
Most of the personal software we use is designed so we're never challenged. When you play a good video game, it's exactly the opposite. You have to repeat difficult challenges over and over again until you master them, and then you get higher level challenges. You get lots of feedback. You know, your character dies. Kind of visceral feedback. And so video games actually serve as I think, a good model where the software is designed to engage us in an activity, raise us up to new and higher levels of skills, rather than, you know, simply saying, I'll do everything for you.
He's the author of The Glass Cage, Automation and Us. Nicholas, thank you very much for talking with me.
Thanks. My pleasure.